Tonight we'll be in the Gospel of Matthew, and we'll be in Matthew chapter 14. I failed to mention one thing that I'm going to go ahead and share this publicly. So the college, we are working to launch in the fall of 2026 to be able to offer a Christian education degree. And Mr. Zachary Dam, along with three other men, we're working as a team to aggressively prepare for that. And I've got some liberty with my schedule, at least this next semester, to dig down. A lot of work has been done already. There's a great need, for those that are involved in Christian education, to equip teachers that love the Lord and know the Word but are competent. And so we're preparing for that, and prayer is appreciated. Tonight, we're going to look at a portion that is familiar to many. But there's a danger in that, and that is that we can miss what the Lord has for us. Where this message came from for me, obviously from Scripture, but I listened to a missionary share from this text, and something jumped off the pages to me, and I began to ask myself a couple questions about this text. This is Jesus' feeding of the 5,000. How many are familiar with that? Do you know that this miracle is recorded in all four Gospels? And I don't know too many miracles that are. Somewhere I read it's the only one outside of the resurrection. I don't know that for sure. But I can say this. The fact that it was shared in all four Gospels points to the fact that it's very important. How many would agree with that? And so each time I read this with an open heart, there's something else that jumps off the pages of Scripture. But I want to share with you from my studies of the text, really two areas. Perhaps consideration of why Jesus fed the 5,000. Now, if you want the complete and precise and exact answer, we'll have to ask him when we get to glory. But from the Scriptures, a lot is shared here that can help us get a perspective on maybe some considerations of why this was done. And also I'd like to look, if time permits, of how Jesus did this. Jesus Christ is the sum, substance, and source for the meeting of all of our needs, whether physical or spiritual. Amen. And my heart's desire tonight, and I mean this, wholeheartedly, that every one of us, including me, that this would grip our hearts and that we would seek Him and that we would run to Him and we would turn to Him. A lot of times we're looking for someone else to meet those needs. Now, He uses people. How many of you know that? He uses God's people to get things done. But He is the sum, substance, and source for the meeting of our needs, physical and spiritual. I want to ask you to stand with me one more time tonight. We're going to read. I'll be reading Matthew 14, verses 13 through 21. And I would ask you as I read along, perhaps you would ask the Lord to speak to your heart and to meet your deepest heart's need. And friends, I know most often the greatest needs are the needs that are unshared. When you hear an unspoken prayer request, there's something significant behind that request. And so God knows your hearts. He knows your needs. I pray that He uses His Word to minister to you tonight. Matthew 14, verse 13. When Jesus heard of it, He departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed Him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and He healed their sick. And when it was evening, His disciples came to Him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto Him, "We have here but five loaves and two fishes." He said, "Bring them hither to me." And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the privilege to meet tonight at Lighthouse Baptist Church. Thank you for the faithful ministry, faithful pastor and his wife, and so many team members here that are giving their lives to love and serve you through this ministry. We ask you to prosper them, encourage them. I pray tonight, sincerely, Lord, that needs are met through your word, and may you use each one of us to be a blessing and help to one another. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right? I was thinking about that verse where, and they were all, that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. I got to thinking, who eats more, women, children, or men? I don't need to ask that question, right? Let's dive in. Why did Jesus feed the 5,000? I want to say perhaps. The first is the most obvious, but it doesn't go without saying, because I don't think he would have done it had it not been the case. Are you ready? Number one is perhaps it was just because they were hungry. That fact that they were hungry, Jesus fed and met that need. Aren't you thankful tonight that Jesus Christ does meet our needs? Amen. He does meet our needs. When I think about this, this was a very real need, a very pressing need, a very important need. But very soon, the need was beyond would become beyond urgent, but almost emergency as a time. But because of their length of time there And I got to thinking about this. We think of Jesus, he is God, but he knew what it was like to be hungry, didn't he? Matthew 4 tells us that he was led in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Matthew 4 tells us he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was afterwards and hungered. Friends, let me ask you, have you ever been hungry? Now, I don't know that I've gone without food so long that I was, you know, to a health state and like, you know, life impending. You know, we all hopefully have some type of fasting occasionally and as the Lord directs. But I used to be a tree climber. This was many, 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 many moons ago. I don't know that I could do that now. But I can tell you this, as when I was bivocational as a pastor and working, that when Stephanie would pack me a lunch, I would bring a gallon of water. I would drink that gallon of water before 12 noon. And the lunch that she had packed me that I was supposed to consume at 12 noon was totally gone by 10 a.m. How many can identify with that? I would get home at night and I said, woman, I need a bigger lunch. And so I was hungry. I was burning those calories. I will say this, and you got to listen closely. We are trying to eat healthy. Everybody know what I mean about trying? Now, this is going to take longer unless you participate with me a little bit, okay? Thank you. There we go. Okay. Trying to eat healthy. Now, one of the things I've learned, that when I fill up on things that I shouldn't eat or things that aren't so good for me, guess what? I'm not as hungry for the things that I should eat. And so this really translates also in the area of our spiritual nourishment, getting caught up and consumed by so many things around us. Sometimes we're not hungry for the things the Lord has for us. But I will tell you this. I don't know about you. Sometimes we can get a little self-reliant. We get a little where we're functioning on our own, maybe a little bit on automatic pilot. And then sometimes I find myself coming up a little dry, a little hungry for God's help, a little hungry for some spiritual strengthening on the inside. And then that time that when you're really empty and you're maybe things haven't kind of gone how you think they should go, and you get to that place where, like, I really can't figure this out, that I find myself sometimes crawling back to the Lord and renewing that fellowship and renewing that relationship. And I can tell you this, aren't you thankful he's faithful tonight? But each time we come back to him, he strengthens me, he renews my strength, and he encourages me, and he nourishes my soul. And this book is great nourishment for the soul, isn't it? And I'll tell you what, there's much that comes to mind, and some of the preaching I do, I intermingle it with more like, I don't necessarily sing, but some the Lord uses songs to help strengthen and encourage us. And it's the Ron Hamilton song, "Lord, I Need You." And these words resonate with me, that sometimes when life seems gentle and blessings flood my way, I turn my gaze away from You and soon forget to pray. But when the sky grows darker and courage turns to fear, my anxious voice cries upward with words You long to hear. Lord, I need You when the sea of life is calm. Oh Lord, I need You when the wind is blowing strong. Whether trials come or cease, keep me always on my knees. Lord, I need You. Lord, I need You. Do you need the Lord tonight? You see, Jesus Christ is the sum, substance, and source for the meeting of all of our needs. And I'll tell you, sometimes we're expecting and we put expectations on people that we should not put on them because they will sometimes disappoint us. But Jesus Christ will never disappoint you. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? And I'll tell you, that Lord, I need You. Hey, perhaps it was because they were hungry. And secondly, and there's quite a few areas I will share about this, perhaps it was because He loved them. We know that God loves us, don't we? We know that because of what He has accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary. His love for us was demonstrated when He gave His life for us. So He came to this earth because of God's love. And so we understand that. So I know I can say that really without a shadow of a doubt. His moving among men is because He loves us. When He speaks to your heart, it's because He loves you. When He corrects you as one of His children, it's because He loves you. And when He allows challenges in your life, it is because He loves you. And sometimes we are tempted to believe the devil's lie that God is not good. But God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And He loves us. And I believe that it's demonstrated through the Scripture that perhaps another indication of why would be that He loved them. Because the Bible shares us clearly that He cared about them. So where do you see that, Brother Rediger? Look at verse 13. When Jesus heard of it. Do you see that in there? Now, if you go to read all four gospel accounts of this event, there was an event that occurred before that. It was the beheading of John the Baptist. And because of John the Baptist's stand for holiness and to preach truth, he lost his head. And the Bible tells us that the disciples carried the body of John the Baptist without its head to be buried. And then as you read this, Jesus, in His care for their perhaps discouragement, He pulled them aside for a little while, some time alone. When you read the other accounts, it's quite clear that he was there to encourage them. That when he heard of it, aren't you thankful that Jesus encourages the discouraged? Amen. Now, we're so spiritual here tonight, we don't ever get discouraged, do we? We all wear out once in a while. We all wear thin once in a while. But I'll tell you what, that's a good indication to run back to Jesus and get some encouragement. I'll tell you what, He encourages the discouraged. We read right here in verse 14, and He saw a great multitude move with compassion toward them, and He healed their sick. Jesus encourages the discouraged. He heals the sick, and He feeds the hungry. That's Jesus Christ. That's our Savior. He didn't just leave us here on the planet after we called on Him as Savior. He indwells every believer with His Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of truth. If you receive Jesus Christ, you have the presence of Christ dwelling inside you to guide you and to lead you and to convict you and to encourage you. I thank God tonight for His Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ that indwells me. How many of you can thank God for that tonight? You see, tonight we see that He cared about them. There was a gentleman by the name of Frank Goff, and he penned the words to, "Does Jesus care?" That's a great question. Through as I read of him, he was an upbeat personality, an encouraging person, a person you might enjoy being around, but even individuals of great encouragement face times of discouragement. And as I read he found himself in that time, and he came to 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And he penned the words to this song. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and cares distress, and the way grows weary and long. Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief there is no relief, though my tears flow all the night long. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it all to Him? Does He see? Well, the songwriter answers the question with, oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief when the days are weary and the long nights dreary. Would you remember, friends, tonight that Jesus cares? He does care. I'm mindful of the disciples on the sea, and they were crying out to Jesus, carest thou not that we perish? Jesus Christ came to this earth to live and die and pay for our sin. They didn't see all that at that time. Imagine, perhaps that could have been perceived as an insult. You're asking me if I care whether you perish? I'm giving my life for you. Carest thou not that we perish? That's the devil's lie, that God doesn't care. God does care. Thank God for that tonight. Maybe that's what you need to hear tonight from the Scripture. Jesus does care. You know, something as I discover and I see that love demonstrated, that He wanted them close to Him. And He wanted those folks to stay close to Him. Where do you see that? Well, He's feeding this multitude. Look at verse 15. And when it was evening, Matthew 14, 15, when it was evening, notice who said this. His disciples came to Him saying, this is a desert place and the time is now past. Would you read those next four words with me? Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, would you read these four words with me? They need not depart. Give ye them to eat. The disciples, send the multitude away. We can't feed them. Jesus said, they need not depart. Send them away. You know, it was the disciples that, you know, the children, oh, Jesus is too busy. He's like, suffer them to come to me. Don't push them away. And sometimes his closest followers can, sometimes we can perhaps be a greatest hindrance. But it's an interesting thing that He wants us to be with Him. You see, He died for us so that we could be with Him. The Scripture reminds us, whosoever shall call. He tells us, the Spirit and the bride say, come. John 6:37 says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Aren't you thankful that when you called on Him, that He received you as you received Him into your life? That you had an invitation to come to Him? Aren't you thankful He initiated that? Aren't you thankful for that? He wants us with Him. And that Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He wanted them close, and He wanted them to stay close. May I say another area, the demonstration of His love. Perhaps He knew that if they sought to satisfy themselves, they would miss something God had for them. Say, where do you see that? Well, the disciples said, send the multitude away so they can go into the town and buy themselves victuals, to go buy some food. And Jesus said, they need not depart. And He gave them that instruction. You see, had they gone in town, they would have missed that miracle, wouldn't they? Had they taken care of their own needs by their own means, they would have had a short-term return, but they would have missed something very spectacular that Christ had for them. And He wanted them with Him. I'm going to share something, and I've shared this before as I've shared this text. I have a relative, and this just occurred recently. It's kind of a tender thing, but I believe it's important to share this to make a point. There's a young man. We grew up together. He was a cousin, and we spent time together growing up. His dad was a firefighter. We go down, hang out at the firehouse, and so I'm a couple years older, but not much older. And I know just a few years ago when I attended my grandfather's funeral, that I know at that time that this man was in church, but we got a call recently. We didn't know this, but he had been involved in drugs. And he was not only involved in consuming, but also in distributing. And he was being stopped by the police. And I know it wasn't the first time. And in fear for what would happen to him as a result of being caught with possession, instead of facing those consequences, he chose to consume to consume the drugs, and while the police were interrogating him, he went into cardiac arrest, and within 2 days, his life ended. And why do you share that? Because we need to be reminded that Satan is a liar. Satan is a liar, and when you and I seek out our own satisfaction, it never ends well, does it? But you know what? When you and I seek Christ, this is so easy to say. It always ends well. It always ends well. Hey, Christ, perhaps he knew as we share this, that if they would go to meet their own need, to satisfy their own desire, then he wouldn't be able to do with him what he desired to do. Hey, but we do know this, that he wanted to perhaps even teach them an even greater truth. Now, it's not shared in this text here, but in the Gospel of John, it shares that the next day, in John chapter 6, the same miracle, the same account of the feeding of the 5,000, the very next day, Jesus declares, "I am the bread of life." And those that were there to witness the feeding of the 5,000 saw what he could do with the physical bread. And then he stands up and declares, "I am the bread of life. I am," if I can say, he's pointing them to, "I'm the spiritual nourishment. I'm the source of life." Matter of fact, there are some great I am statements in the Gospel of John. And perhaps you know them, but I want to exhort you a little bit with them to remind you tonight a little bit more of who Jesus is from his own words. He said, "I am the bread of life." He said, "I am the light of the world" in John 8. In John 10, he said, "I am the door. I am the good shepherd." Thank God for the good shepherd. "I am the resurrection and the life" when Lazarus was raised from the dead. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." In Revelation, he says, "I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star." And back to John 8, Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And I want to exhort you this tonight. There is nobody like Jesus. There is nobody like the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me share with you the third reason why perhaps Jesus fed the 5,000. They were hungry. That's a good reason to feed somebody, isn't it? And he loved them. That's another good reason to feed somebody. But let me tell you something that really jumped out to me. It's another pretty obvious one, but I don't know if you would have considered it, so I'm going to tell you. Perhaps it was simply because they were present. Say, what? We don't know the spiritual condition of everyone present that day. It's not recorded, is it? I don't know this recorded. We know the young lad and what he did. The disciples were there, but guess what? Everyone there got fed, didn't they? Everyone there got to see the miracle that Jesus did. You know, there could have been a husband and wife on their way to hear Jesus teach, and maybe they weren't getting along like husband and wives are supposed to do. Maybe there was that little riding the donkeys or the camels on the way, whatever they were doing. Maybe someone was there because someone, just come with me. You know, maybe a young one came because the parents expected them to be there. Maybe, we're going to meet up with someone afterwards, or let's see what this Jesus guy can do. We don't know that it wasn't their economic status, wasn't their political party association, wasn't their spiritual temperature, it wasn't their gender, it wasn't their ethnicity. They all got fed because they were present. And friends, I want to tell you, that's the grace of God, isn't it? And I've learned that perhaps half of seeing God continue to work is just be present. I tell folks all the time in college, "Man, just keep showing up, man." "Well, I'm going to fail that class." "Well, you probably will, but anyways, keep showing up." No, I don't say that. I say keep showing up, though. I'm in church. You ever get someone hit you sideways or say something, do something, get you sideways, right? No? You guys are too spiritual for that, right? I work with some wonderful people, but once in a while you can, in a place that there's a lot of activity, you can run over somebody by accident. Yes? Now, don't act so spiritual, okay? But friends, I'm telling you, well, you know, they did this. Hey, you know what? Keep showing up. Keep showing up. Hey, I remember looking back in all the different years, I can't honestly say that every time there was church, that every time, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, I can't look back and say every single one of those times in the years since I've been saved, since a 17-year-old young man, that I always, every time, like, I'm excited to be in church. There was a few times where, you know, I don't really know or feel like I'm being there. I'm not really up to it. Maybe something happened that I lost my motivation. But I found out even on those nights when I showed up, God did something special for me. I got fed. You know what? Sometimes half of it just keeps showing up. Just be present. Let me tell you, you don't see it looking ahead, what it can do. You don't know. You don't even always see what's going on around you. But I can tell you what, you can see it looking back. You keep showing up and let God work. Hey, and so how did Jesus feed the 5,000? Well, I want to tell you one thing I know. He did it miraculously, okay? It was a miracle. What's a miracle? It's a literal, a wonderful thing. It's an event or effect contrary to a deviation from the known laws of nature, a supernatural event. Miracles, that which is only wrought by Almighty God. You know, it wasn't because there was some omega-3 fish that they all got fed that day. It wasn't the amazing Ezekiel bread that's supposed to be the only bread that's good for you. It wasn't the bread that lad brought. It wasn't the little lad that did anything spectacular that made everybody have a bunch of food. I know it wasn't the disciples, because they were like, send them away. So it wasn't the disciples. I'll tell you who it was. I'll tell you who did it. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who fed the multitude. Jesus Christ is the one who heals the brokenhearted. Jesus Christ is the only one that saves. Jesus Christ. He is the sum, substance, and source for the meeting of all of our needs, physical or spiritual. So I want to say that how he did it, will we all agree he did it miraculously? Can we all agree about that? That's what we see in the Bible. What else do we see? He did it abundantly. Did you notice there were some leftovers? Now, you may not like leftovers. I love leftovers at my house, man. Usually, because I can down some food. Anybody, some of you young guys, I can go through it. But once in a while, I like having extra. I don't like when there's not enough. We do a meal for the college student. Like, why you got to buy all that? Let me tell you something. You're either going to have too much or not enough. I want the problem to be too much. Well, I want them wishing. I want them walking out of there with extra plates, just thinking, wow, this is great. Jesus made sure there was plenty for everybody, didn't he? We read that. Verse 20, Matthew 14. And they did all eat and were what? They were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. I'm not sure where all they went. Maybe someone deeper studier than me on that, of where they went, but they were all filled. I wonder, you know, the hymn history, you look at that a little bit. I wonder if they went out of there, maybe that's where that song started, a little as much when God is in it. I don't know. But I guarantee you, everybody that came that day got encouraged. And I guarantee you this, they're probably pretty glad they showed up that day. They got to see something special. He did it miraculously. He did it abundantly. But I want to say this area here, that he did it collectively. Obviously, he fed everybody. He got everybody involved. But you know what he could have done? You know, we read in John 6, he's the bread of life. He talked about manna. He could have just poured down manna from heaven. Wouldn't that have been awesome? All those people there, and he could hold up his hands and manna falls down from heaven. He could have done that. Could he have done that? He could have done that. He could have turned the stones to bread. Everybody, all right, reach behind you. There's a loaf of bread right there. That thing you're sitting on a loaf of bread, man. He could have called, if it was today, he could have called DoorDash and had everything brought in, right? But you know what? He did not. He used a lad that had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And I don't even know the storyline behind that guy. Maybe he came with his family. Maybe each one of the kids had 5 loaves and 2 fish. He brought his. He brought his to Jesus. And Jesus did something with it. He could have just kept his lunch. Maybe his mom sent him. And you go, let me know how it goes. Maybe his mom sent him and he's on his own there. And he's got his lunch. And he could have eaten his lunch and gone home and said, how'd it go? Oh, Jesus, he was great at teaching. But no. He gave what he had and God did something with it. He had something to brag about, didn't he? He had something to talk about that God had done. And then he used the disciples. Now, I don't know about you. You get 12 men together, you got 12 different personalities, right? I can't imagine how they each had a little subgroups, had the men sit down in groups of 50 or 100, I can't recall. But I can't imagine, maybe one of them is a little more organized than the other. Maybe one guy's got his guys marching to the, you know, maybe the other guy, he's like, well, they got me doing this. I don't know. But I know one thing, God used them, and he used them, but it wasn't them that fed them. It was Jesus giving them the bread to give to other people. You know, you got vacation Bible schools coming up at Lighthouse Baptist Church. It's an opportunity to reach young people and families with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you're involved in there, you're involved in the distribution process. You're involved in taking that bread, that living bread, and giving it to others. You know, we don't have the goods, but Jesus has the goods. When you share the gospel, you are sharing the bread of life. It is a privilege to serve Jesus Christ. You know that? He didn't have to use those disciples. He didn't have to use that lad, but he chose to use that lad, and he chose to use our disciples. And you know, he doesn't have to use me, and he doesn't have to use you. Aren't you thankful God chooses to use us? I know this. I don't know your hearts, but I know one thing. I know everyone needs Jesus Christ. This Thursday, we changed our plans to travel to California because at one time he was a very close friend, a gentleman by the name of Bill Angelini. His health had declined, and he was, while I was pastoring on the eastern shore of Maryland, he was just a special guy to me. He was a special guy, and honestly, this guy, I know he would take a bullet for me. But he went to be with the Lord. And the family asked me to be a part of something they're doing Thursday. And I'm going to get to talk about his life. I don't know to what extent. I'm not sure how that's going to go. And I don't know who's all going to be there, but I know this. Everyone there needs Jesus. And I'm praying for the opportunity, and I believe I'll have it, to share the gospel. And I believe that I'll just go ahead and selfishly ask you to pray, but I believe as I share our interaction, how I came to know him was we were knocking on doors, and he said as we knocked on his door in the past, he ran us off. I don't remember that. But it was he had just recently faced a major tragedy and a major loss. And I said, can we come in? And he says, yes, you can. And whatever involvement he was in any kind of church there or ministry, it wasn't anything like we would preaching the gospel. He just felt like they weren't there. And we prayed, and I showed him how to know that he can have eternal life, and I walk through the scriptures. And you know what? While he being dead, yet speaketh, that message goes on, and I can share, pray and I can share that gospel message. But you know what? I don't have anything, but I can show him who does, right? I can bring him the gospel. You know, tonight, we don't know exactly why Jesus fed the 5,000, but it's pretty safe to say they were hungry and he loved them, right? And he fed the ones present. And he did it in a miraculous way. He did it in a big way. And he did it in a way that he got everybody involved. I don't know where you're at tonight, but I know one thing. Every one of us need Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you tonight, no matter where you're at, why don't you renew that fellowship with him? Why don't you run back to him? Maybe there's a need that rose up in your heart. I pray tonight as we go that we leave here in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of opening the Bible, encouraging the church family with truth, with your word. I pray tonight as we think about the scriptures and the work that you've done, not only in the feeding of the 5,000, but your work on Calvary to redeem us. And those that know you tonight, I pray that every one of us would realize it's you that's the source of help. It's you that's the source of strength, Lord, tonight. And I pray that each one will come in obedience to you. Pray for any present that perhaps do not know you, that they would turn to you tonight in faith and trust you as Savior. In Jesus' name. Pastor.
Every head bowed and every eye closed. Perchance you're here tonight. You do not know Jesus Christ. You're up left hand. You say, Pastor, that's me. I don't have Jesus Christ as my Savior. Tonight God has spoken to my heart. I need to be saved. Slip your hand up. Hold it up just a moment. Let me recognize you. Let me pray for you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, perchance you're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus to help me, to feed me, to enable me. I just need to be here. I just need to be present. But somewhere in the message tonight, God spoke to my heart. Would you pray for me?" "Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am." Stand to our feet, our head bowed and eye closed. Father, I thank you for speaking to hearts. I thank you for these that have indicated that you have touched them in a very special way. And you know their need. You know their heart. You know the longing. You know the desperation. And we know that you can fill that need and you can help them. And I pray that you would meet every single need of the hands that were raised this evening. Every head bowed and every eye closed. The piano is playing. The altar is open. God has spoken. You want to pray? You should come.